Today, the last cash dash. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined by Robbie Barwick from the Citizens Party. Hello, Robbie.
Hello, Martin.
Happy New Year to you.
Yep, same to you.
So, right back straight into it, and all about the cash ban.
Yes. We've got some good stuff to talk about from Thursday at the hearing, which I attended. You listened to it live. But the main thing is, yes, this is the last cash dash. Pick up your phone. There's an opportunity this week to really affect the outcome of this bill. We've got, in a sense, we've got Labor where we want them, but will Labor play political games or will they save Australia? And a lot of that comes down to our ability to influence them, you know, just reinforce the point over the next week before there's a vote on this bill of how the public sees it, how strong the public opposition is, and we can actually affect the outcome here.
Yeah, and kudos to you guys, because you've actually got a neat little app now on your website that allows not only the listing of all the senators and their phone numbers and emails, but you can actually push a button and get all of the senators for a particular state in an email. So
exactly.
It's very easy for people to actually make a fuss. So I'll put that link at the bottom of this video so that people can actually pick up the phone, which is probably good because I think a phone call is probably more effective than an email. But nevertheless, email as well is all good.
Well, look, we've got today's Monday. So Parliament starts sitting tomorrow. And then on Friday, the report comes out from the Senate inquiry, right? And this is the period where we can really see what happens with members of Parliament is when their phone starts ringing off the hook, you know, it's the staffers who answer the phone, et cetera, and they say to the boss, look, we are getting drowned with this. You've got to appreciate, think it through yourself. You know, emails can just, we've all got an inbox. You get to them eventually. I mean, they'll notice if there's a lot of emails coming in, but if you want that sense of urgency, that sense of insistence, keep making those phone calls. You don't have to say a lot. We can talk about that in a minute, but just the phone call itself is actually quite big in terms of the impact it can have. And like I said, I think we should talk about what happened on Thursday in the hearing, because that really is where this sense of possibility comes from, right?
No, absolutely we should. And just to explain to everybody, there was no video recording of this because it wasn't actually held in Canberra. It was held in Sydney. We did actually make an audio recording and some of that's available. But you were there, Robbie.
I was there. So I was there with probably 80 other people, as it turned out. That's roughly, there was a room for that could hold 50. And they kept having to squeeze them in. In fact, the room was a sort of a basement. you went to this building in Sydney on Kent Street, then you went down below ground for this meeting. It was good though, because the senators who were present had to rub shoulders with the people who came. So I think there were three factors in this meeting that was very significant. And the first was the audience. The impression that audience would have conveyed just being there, and then as the day wore on, they got more vocal, was very significant. The second factor was John Adams' testimony, which was very good. You've put it up straight away, and you're right. He did hit a home run with that testimony. He had the weight of the expectation of all us cash ban opponents on his shoulders, but he came through with flying colours, and his testimony is as good a standalone explanation of everything involved with this bill as you'll see, right? So that's, I encourage everyone to share that. And the third factor, and this is key, is the Labor senators, right? So if anyone saw the video that we produced here, the 5-minute video from the first hearing, the theme that we pulled out of that first hearing was the theme of evidence. And Senator Alex Gallagher did a sterling job proving, just through consistent questioning, the government had no evidence. Well, poor old Alex gets diagnosed with lung cancer. He's on leave now. And so we're thinking, oh, okay, He's a guy with a background. I since discovered he's got a background as a in the Transport Workers Union and as a truck driver himself. That sort of come through with that kind of real world experience, you know. And he was, you could see why he was skeptical. What are his replacements going to be? Well, as it turned out, they were pretty good. I mean, Jenny McAllister from New South Wales, a bit more bureaucratic. Kimberly Kitching, though, from here, from in Victoria, she stood in for Alex. She probably gave him a call, right, to get his view on it. She, even before she arrived, she said, is this a bad law from a bad government, right? And Kimberly Kitching, as much more than anything else, is the first person in the Labor Party that I've seen to pick up on the idea that you can bash the government with this law. This is, she's reading the public, she's reading the law and going, this is why, you know, we should be going after the government on this. And what, so that, and I'm thinking, hallelujah, finally, right? Why haven't they been up until now? Right. So that was a key dynamic. And because she had that view and because McAllister's at least partially shared it with her, it informed their questions. And again, that showed up the government witnesses quite effectively, I thought.
Yeah, I think it did. And what was interesting was that they actually built quite nicely on the earlier round of hearings. And of course, the Treasury and the ATO were back for more questioning. I guess to be given a second chance, but they muffed it too, didn't they?
They did. They did. They. So here, they, what was the issue of the first hearing? They had no evidence. They had Senator Gallagher said, "We want data. You're just giving us anecdotes, and that's not empirical evidence." And of course, Treasury was falling back on the Black Economy Task Force report, and it was the first insight into what a fluffy job this report was, right? Made these outlandish claims, etc. They couldn't back up. So Gallagher said, "We want data," and of course, they didn't have any. So they've had 2 months to go and collect data. What did they do? They came back, and instead of delivering data to back up the need for this law, the homework they did was to prove, was to find an excuse why they didn't need data. That was effectively their argument. No, because this is the black economy, everything's hidden, so there's no sort of benchmarking we can do, etc. That's why we don't have data. You just have to, you know, take this on faith. And then when they're asked questions about the workability of the law, the impact of the law, very, very vague. And of course, it dawned on Kimberly Kitching that they were being vague on the 30th of January in hearings about a law that was supposed to have begun on the 1st of January. What the hell's going on? So the theme, I think, for the second hearing on last week was, whereas the first hearing theme had been evidence, the theme for the second hearing was the cost. What's the cost of this law? They were trying to deny there was much of a cost, but the other witnesses, like Flight Centre, were able to demonstrate, no, there's a very real cost here. And the other, the proxy witness that also demonstrated that was the audience, right? They wouldn't, if there was no cost, they wouldn't have been there, right? Now, there's a real cost to this. Flight Centre demonstrated in spades. And when the government was questioned over what work they had done on the cost, they'd done nothing. Not even the normal processes of a regulatory impact statement, as you've done this show with John. I've watched that show this morning with that you did with John on the regulatory impact statement. Very important. And I think, Martin, that's going to actually be very effective with these senators, especially the Labor Party senators. At least whether they want to, you know, be brave enough to see what I'll tell you how the Labor Party thinks. The government says this is necessary for the black economy, right? So that's their pretext. And Labor would be scared of being accused of being soft on the black economy, right? And that's why we've got, for 20 years, that's how the government's passed all their anti-terrorism laws, right? They've said, oh, we need all these draconian powers for ASIO and whatever because of terrorism, and Labor doesn't want to be seen to be soft on terrorism. And so they give the government, so that's the way Labor thinks. But in this case, they've got the reaction from the public, which they've never seen before. They've got their own read of the bill and go, this is a bit dodgy, right? You know, all these claims, et cetera, where's your evidence? And now they've got the fact that the government hasn't even followed the normal procedure that was designed to ensure that a law like this, which they, you know, does have a cost burden, falls on what it's targeted at, which is the black economy, and not everybody else, right? They haven't done that study. In fact, they've deliberately sidestepped the process that would allow it to be done. And that started coming out of the hearing, but the work you and John have done in your show shows just how blatant that was. That's going to be very effective.
Well, we've also given them effectively a nice way out, because they can basically then say, we've got procedural issues with this, et cetera, right? Without necessarily being held up as opposing, the tax issues. So it's quite an effective, hopefully, strategy.
Oh, for sure. But to make that stick, I really encourage people to hit the phones, right? This is key. Call every Labor senator in your state. Call Anthony Albanese's office and Jim Chalmers' office. And Jim Chalmers is the shadow treasurer. But between those two, they will be in charge of the ultimate party decision here, or what they would recommend to the party room. I do believe, I may be a little bit wrong on this, but I do believe Labor's process is a bit different to the government's. The government had a caucus meeting on this law, a joint party room meeting back in September, when the party room endorsed the law. But as we discovered, those kind of discussions don't go to a vote. It's up to the Prime Minister to read the mood of the room. I think in Labor's case, when they have a caucus meeting, the caucus is supposed to effectively endorse all the laws that they're going to vote for, right? And so that process presumably will happen if the report's handed down on the 7th, which is Friday. That process will presumably happen next Tuesday, right? And so that's why we've got a week to really burn up their telephone lines. Call every Labor senator in your state. Call Anthony Albanese and Jim Chalmers, right? Please make those calls. That's about 5 or 6 calls. And if every person on this show, watching this show, makes those calls, I can tell you that'll be huge. And if you're regular viewers to Martin and my discussions on this, you'll know that we keep saying, make submissions, make calls, etc. But can I point out to you, it works. We're only at this position where it's like a minute to go in the grand final, fourth quarter, right? Or whatever the rugby league equivalent is, second half. And the game's in the balance, because the public activation, the calls, the emails that people made back in August were at least enough then to get Labor to refer it to this committee that's been able to show up so much about this law, right? If that hadn't have happened, if you hadn't responded back then and made those submissions and made those calls, Labor, I can tell you, it's in their DNA, they would not have opposed the government just ramming it through in September. This would already be law now. This would be in effect. It would have started on the 1st of January. This works, right? But now's not the time to coast to the finish line. Make the calls. And while you're at it, so click on the link below that you provide, Martin, with all the senators there. It's all there. If you want to call all the senators in Australia, go ahead and do it. But at least call the Labor senators in your state. If you want to call the coalition senators and give them a serve, right? Don't back off doing that either. If you want to, that's okay. But I don't think we're going to change the government's mind necessarily on this. They're pretty much set in their ways. The banks really want this, and this government delivers for the banks, right? But what you should also do is call the Greens and call Jackie Lambie, right? They need the Greens might be a bit up in the air now. I don't know what – they haven't made a formal decision. They're leaning against this bill, right? We know that, but they haven't made a formal decision. And I have been informed that there's a complicating factor there, which is that Dr. Mark Zirnsack of the Uniting Church, who is the only civilian to come out for this law, if you will, side with the government, he's a close friend of the Greens, right? And so that's a snag. But what the Greens need to take on board, and what Zirnsack needs to account for, is the fact that he has chosen, as someone who's supposedly a long-standing campaigner against tax evasion, he's chosen to take the side of the big four accounting firms on this law and KPMG on this law, the people who are responsible for the most tax evasion in the system, right? They were there on Thursday, the Chartered Accountants of Australia and New Zealand. There was a man from a 28-year veteran of PwC and a woman from KPMG. They were there to fully endorse the law and make similar arguments to Mark Zirnsack, right? Well, that's up to him. That is not consistent. If your true position is tax evasion, don't side with those guys. Whereas Rex Patrick did a really good job in the hearing. He actually went off on a tangent deliberately, changed the subject, and he read into the record these large multinational corporations that have made billions of dollars in revenue in the last 5 years and paid zero tax. And the reason the people who allow them to do that, enable them to do that, are the chartered accountants of Australia and New Zealand and the big four firms and KPMG, the people behind this law, right? So that's the inconsistency that Mark Zernsack and the United Church stand for. So it's up to them to resolve that. But don't let the Greens let this go through to the keeper because of whatever sympathy they might have with him. I know plenty of Greens know this is a bad law. So give them a call as well. Jackie Lambie, give her a call if you're in Tasmania, or even if you're not in Tasmania, you can give her a call. But make those calls this week. That will define what happens next week.
Yeah, and it's worth saying, I think, Robbie, is that the establishment are a bit twitchy on this now. Aaron Patrick from the AFR did another article, tried to do a bit of a snow job, but he actually let the cat out of the bag because Michael Sukkar, the assistant treasurer, is not necessarily fully on board either.
This is fascinating. Michael Sukkar has performed terribly around this law. He doesn't even engage his own constituents. There were people there who had flown up from Melbourne to attend the hearing in Sydney who are either his constituents or in his own party who he refuses to engage with them on this, and they're wondering why. But it turns out Aaron Patrick reported in his article that Michael Sukkar showed no enthusiasm for this law at all. And we're wondering, how does Aaron Patrick know that? I mean, basically, Aaron Patrick is a self-appointed apologist for the banks, right? That's the way he writes these articles. They're very dishonest, I'm afraid. It's worth reading the way he tried to spin this hearing and turn it run his rubbish line again that it's a conspiracy theory, whereas John Adams gave him a huge wad of documentation from proper official sources proving that this is about that cash bans are about negative interest rates, and he still tried to stick to that line. But yeah, I'm sure he's well connected, and it was very revealing, right? So that he said that Michael Sukkar showed no enthusiasm for this law. So that tells you the government knows that they're dealing with a blowback they did not anticipate, right? By the way, Martin, I was bragging to some politicians, advisors, bragging. Not really, it wasn't to brag, but, you know, look at the show you and I did, look at the original show you and John did, John Adams did, well over 100,000 views of these shows. And I had to make the point, it's not because we're especially persuasive. This went viral, right? That's the feeling that's out there. And I wanted them to understand that that's what they're dealing with. And there might be some signs that, you know, that even the government is starting to get that. And so, you know, we'll see what happens this week. I spoke to our office here this morning, and I had to emphasize, I think the most important thing we can do is do something this week, make a lot of calls. Nothing about this outcome is set in stone. Right. The only thing that we know that is officially required is the report on the 7th. We don't know though whether there'll be a unanimous report or whether there'll be a dissenting report where the Labor Party goes there, we're not going to do it. We don't know whether the government will put in a token report and decide that discretion is the better part of valor and withdraw the bill. Right. All these outcomes are possible. And finally, the outcome that's most possible is a no vote in the Senate. We don't know what's going to happen. Don't convince yourself that, they're all corrupt and so they'll find a way to get it through. That may happen, but the future's not set in stone like that. We can make an impact, big impact now. We're sniffing all these possibilities. And when you get a sniff, you go for it.
Absolutely. And that's why what happens in the next two or three days will be really, really important. So as we've said, but let's underscore it again, pick up the phone, ring those, particularly the Labor senators, and just make sure that they understand what you feel about this particular piece of legislation.
Yep. Ed Wright.
Well, fingers crossed, Robbie. It's all coming down to the wire.
No, don't cross your fingers. Clench your fist.
Very good.
I ran a telephone.
Very good. Exactly. Right. That's right. Thanks, Robbie. I appreciate that. And we'll obviously keep the audience informed as to what happens over the next few days.
Absolutely. Thanks, Martin.
See ya. Bye. So there you have it. A dash for the line. And it's worth making that final effort to make this really bad bill go away. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching. And I'll see you next time.